Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of the Book of Job, focusing on chapter 23. As you may recall, in the previous chapter, Eliphaz took a more conciliatory tone. He vividly described the wickedness rampant in Sodom and Amorah that brought about their complete destruction, and obliquely implied that Eov had also been guilty of callous disregard of the weak and disadvantaged in his community. From his position as a wealthy and powerful leader, Eov had probably oppressed and exploited his compatriots. However, Eliphaz concluded his speech more gently and tried to persuade Eov to accept the penance which God had decreed. He urged Eov to repent and reassured him that he can emerge as a righteous exemplar in his community, serving as a role model with the power to intercede with God on their behalf. In this chapter and the following one, Eov will respond. Ramban notes that in this chapter, the first part of Eov's reaction, he virtually ignores everything that Eliphaz expressed, refusing to acknowledge both his explicit and implicit messages. Instead, Eov addresses an invisible audience of listeners that have a more open mind and open heart to give due consideration to Eov's thoughts and feelings. Perhaps Eov is speaking to all generations who will study this sefer. Ramban notes that in the introductory verse, Eov explains that he remains bitter and weighed down by pain and paralyzed by grief, so he cannot possibly heed Eliphaz's promises of a hopeful future. Gam hayom meri sichi, yadi kavda al anchati. Even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Rashi interprets meri sichi not as bitter speech, but as rebellious speech, to indicate that Eov remains steadfast, yadi kavda, and in his unrelenting pain, he continues to repel his friend's encouragement and consolation. Malbim, on the other hand, interprets the phrase yadi kavda al anchati as, quote, my will to find God and debate him is so strong that it can override my painful groans, end of quote. And this translation is consistent with the following verses. Mi yiten yadati ve'emtza'ehu avo atchunato. E'oncha lefanav mishpat ufi amale tochachot. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. But then Eov ponders, if I could find God and lay out my complaints, and Hashem would respond, would I comprehend what he says? Eda milim ya'aneni ve'avina ma yomar li? Ramban disagrees and does not read this fifth verse as a question. On the contrary, he suggests that Eov is responding to Eliphaz, who urged Eov to appeal to Hashem for forgiveness and mercy. Eov is telling his friend, I know that when I can finally speak to God, I will surely be able to make sense of his words, for I cannot comprehend the nonsense that you speak. Thus, he adds in verses 6 and 7, Haberof koach yarivi madi? La, achu yasim bi. Sham yashar nochachimo, ve'afalta lanetzach mishofti. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, He would not press charges against me. There, in the divine court, the upright can establish their innocence before him. And therefore I would be delivered forever from whomever judges me. Eov is convinced that in the divine court he will be assigned an able advocate to counteract the imbalance of power between a grieving man and an omnipotent God. Malbim adds that as he stands in the divine court, his advocate will open with the following complaint. It is alleged that my suffering came because I engaged in self-serving piety. I lived righteously for the sake of reward and avoided evil to spare myself punishment. I served God out of fear and not out of love. Even if that were true, is it right and just in the eyes of the court to bring such extreme agony to a mere mortal and to quarrel with me so bitterly? Eov is certain that given the chance, he could then rest his case, knowing that he had won the debate. But in the interim, Eov is still searching for the God who remains hidden and silent. Hen kedem aloch ve'enenu, ve'acho ve'lo avin lo, smol ve'asoto ve'lo achaz, ya'tof yamin ve'lo ereh. Verses 8 and 9 are commonly translated figuratively, as Rashi does. If I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. In the north, as he works, he cannot be seen. Turning to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. Malbim suggests that a literal translation is more appropriate in this case. Since God is not limited in time and space, and Hashem remains invisible to the human eye, the most a human being can perceive is God's actions and creations. Consequently, when Moshe Rabbeinu begged Hashem, Hareini na et kvodecha, Hashem answered in the 33rd chapter of the book of Shemot, that no human being can see his essential being and remain alive. However, Hashem conceded, Veraita et achorai, ufanai lo yirau. You shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Accordingly, Malbim translates verses 8 and 9 as follows. If I go forward and try to perceive God's essence, he's not there. And if I go backward and contemplate his past actions, I cannot understand him. If I look to the left, which Chazal interpret as natural law, it makes no sense. And if I look to the right, contemplating God's miraculous interventions in history, I still cannot comprehend. Though no human being can perceive God, and his ways remain inscrutable, Eov firmly believes that Hashem, who is omniscient, definitely knows him, and will affirm that he is no hypocrite, and did not commit any of the sins with which his friends implicate him. Ki yada derech imadi, bechaneni kizahav etze. For he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth pure as gold. Rashi suggests that Eov might be implying that God won't reveal himself and debate Eov, precisely because he knows, even if his friends do not, that Eov is innocent. Thus, in verses 11 and 12, he asserts, Be'ashuro achazar ragli, darko shamarti velo at, mitzvat sfatav lo amish, mechuki safanti Imre Piv. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Nevertheless, since Hashem is the one and only power that runs the world, he can do whatever he pleases. Vehu be'echad umi yishivenu. Venafsho ifta vayas ki yashlim chuki uvechahena rabotimo. But God stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decree against me, and many such plans he still has in store. Malbim explains Iov's train of thought. Given that one God is not only all-powerful, but also all-knowing, he has surely predetermined my fate. Iov suggests that human frailties and human capabilities were implanted by the Creator, limiting an individual's freedom to choose his behavior and absolving the human being of responsibility for those predetermined tendencies. He can no more claim credit for his successes than he can take the blame for his failures. Therefore, Iov lives in terror of the capricious decrees that have made his life miserable. In verses 16 and 17, he says, Al ken mipanav ebahel, etbonen ve'efachet mimeno, ve'el harach libi, Vishakai hivilani. That is why I'm terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Rashi adds, given that Iov is convinced that there is no correlation between a person's deeds, be they good or bad, and his fate, he finds himself grappling in the dark, finding no rhyme or reason for living. Ki lo nitzmati mipnei choshech, umipanai kisa ofel. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither has he covered the gloom from my face. Iov regrets that he has not died before this confusion and melancholy has overcome his life, before tragedy could cast a pall on his faith in a loving God. Thank you for studying together.
Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.